I've always said that the way that I'm able to be here is because I got some information when I was a student that I could be an international student,
right,
where you can just leave and study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So that I just wanted to know that how do I be able to, like, explore the world. So that really was the information or the starting point where I realized that I have this desire, like huge desire, where I wanted to explore the world, right? So that information is somewhere led me to start to find the deeper thoughts and desire within myself. I feel like I kind of hear from your experience is kind of the same. However, I do start to have this kind of question where you think those information help us or you,
yeah,
to realize that you could have more options and this is what you wanted. It's,
yeah,
just kind of like what happened in with my experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you think those information could just kind of affect how you think and kind of guided your choices because it's kind of selected, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure which way dominates the people's decision.
Yeah.
Because I do wanted to study more about the information, and our show is about like passing the cross-cultural diversity, right?
Yeah.
And then pass those to, let's say, other Canadian audiences here,
mm-hmm,
and also other Chinese audiences who are living all over the world.
Yeah.
And as a Chinese, I know that we do not have as many directed options,
right, for sure,
compared with here.
Yeah,
so that's why I have this question.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and like I'll note a lot of different cultures around the world have different understandings of gender, like,
right,
for example, and I'm not gonna go into depth on this because I'm just not an expert, but a lot of like indigenous groups out here will have like identities that are two-spirit, or people who have roles in communities outside of traditionally male or female roles. I'm familiar with situations like that, and identities like that that exist in like India. Like all over the world, there are kind of different understandings of gender outside of like what is just like the simple conventional one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But like that can vary, like the way a trans person in like a Western culture like mine basically describes it and identifies themselves might be very different from someone who has one of the other trans type identities from a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of like variation there, and you do sometimes have to go back because in a lot of areas those identities are suppressed and those people are marginalized and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no expert on that, but mm-hmm, there's a lot of differences there. Back to like figuring it out, I guess. I think like knowledge is power, and like the more you know, the better you can kind of like guide your decisions.
Mm.
So for me, just like having some exposure to additional information just made me think I would consider myself like a pretty thoughtful person.
Mm.
And it just made me reflect a little bit. I think that regardless of what outcome there was, it was just good to have a bit of additional information or exposure, if not to better understand myself,
mm-hmm,
to better understand other people around me potentially at some point.
I see. Yeah, it does help me to gain like empathy from people who I don't have same experiences with.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me that it's just kind of like you mentioned about in different culture, in different countries and regions, they treat genders differently, even like in a lot of Asian countries, right? Where like they didn't know, or women didn't know that they could drive. They didn't know that they could have the opportunities to contribute to the society and build their values,
yeah,
in public,
mm-hmm,
right? So they didn't have that options, they didn't have that information within that field. So of course they wouldn't recognize that they wanted to contribute, and then they have bigger vision towards that. So this is how would I to kind of find my limited experiences to relate it to some other communities, right? And then you mentioned about you study behavioral science,
yeah,
or like psychology. Is,
yeah,
there anything that you find that's very interesting happening in different genders or the mixed genders, transgenders? Is there anything that kind of makes you feel like, oh, interesting. So
it's actually funny that you mentioned that. When I was kind of like doing my initial research, like several years back, when I found interest in this kind of topic, I came across a lot of the research that had been done in like the more sciences, behavioral sciences, neuroscience, biology, that kind of stuff surrounding trans people broadly. And it was really interesting because so much of that research has been focused on trying to figure out the reason why someone is trans. So, oh, do the brains of transgender women have activity similar to the brains of cisgender women? Or, like, there's a lot of, like, work to try to, like, more or less just, like, figure out the reason, identify the people. And it gets, like, that's a really... That's a slippery slope, but that's like what most of the research is. It's trying to understand these groups. And I just, in my opinion, I just think that's really misguided, because whether we know why or not, people exist in of different identities, different everything. Like, there's such variety in humans, right? So I just think that focus is really misguided and clearly not guided by like the goals of like the trans and queer communities, who just want for the most part to be included in things, like and to be able to have the same research dedicated to our health that's dedicated to other people's health. So I found that really interesting. The other thing that I think is really interesting surrounding sex and gender that I did kind of learn in my undergrad is how honestly like not different like sexes are in like humans. And what I mean by that is, if you like draw a graph of like basically like any feature, there's like a ton of, and you have like a big, like one big hump, like a bell curve for like males and another one for females. Okay. There's always more overlap on those bell curves than there is areas that aren't overlapping.
Okay.
So there's more difference within one sex group or within one gender group than there is between.
Oh, that's so, very interesting.
Yeah, like, so, and we focus so much on those differences, but really, like, everything is continuous. Like, every trait in humans is continuous. Like, it's not, you're not short or you're tall, you're a height between. Like, and I kind of see sex, well, especially sex like that, gender like that for sure, even a lot more complicated than that, because I think it's a lot of, like, social roles and cultural things.
Right.
And how you go about the world and interact with society, I see that as more gender, how you present yourself, potentially that kind of thing. But like even sex, like there's so many layers to that. We think about it so simply, but like hormones, there's like external organs, internal organs, like other secondary sex characteristics.
Right.
Like it's so much more complicated, and all of those traits exist on a continuum of like more masculine to more feminine, but nobody is just one or the other. Like,
right.
So, and then that goes back to my issue, which is like to distill that down to a binary choice box where you tick man or you tick woman. It just like, at that point, you've simplified something so much that you're not even measuring the original thing anymore.
Right.
Like, what are we supposed to learn from that?
I see. Does this all fall into a simple discipline? Or you're talking about, like, kind of interdisciplinary research about those topics?
Yeah, it's somewhat interdisciplinary. I always say that, like, my work falls into, like, any research that is involving like humans, basically. So anything I usually say in the social sciences or the health sciences.
I see.
And with that fits really nicely with my background in neuroscience, because at least at SFU, the neuroscience program is basically a joint major. So you do half of your courses in psychology, focusing on the more like neuroscience-y parts of psychology, so the biological psychology and that kind of thing. And then you do the other half in the BPK department, which is biomedical physiology and kinesiology, so basically like medical sciences.
Okay.
So you're learning like anatomy and physiology, so like about all the body systems and how they work and that kind of stuff. So my background is very much like split between the social and health science areas. So this kind of even though I'm in psychology now, it really does apply to both. Anything where you're dealing with humans, basically.
Yeah, I'm a huge interdisciplinary person because I do believe that there's nothing that's just kind of affected or caused by one factor, right? Like your experiences, your genetic, your whatever thing, right? But then you mentioned about one thing because you talk about two big points earlier. Yeah. The first one is where like most of people or disciplines that they study why. Like, what is the mechanism behind this? Maybe not even mechanism, but just simply what factors cause people to identify themselves as transgender or whatever, right? They could identify themselves as singer or dancer or whatever, but then basically people study why in terms of this special topic.
Yeah.
So they thought they're trying to, or we thought we're trying to try hard to understand them, respect them, but actually it's not really from their own point of view or feeling or pushing this thing.
Exactly. It feels like you're being, like, at least from, like, my perspective as a community member, it feels like you're being, like, treated like a lab rat. Like, it feels like you're being, like, observed from, like, the windows, like, looking in rather than those priorities coming from within the community.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm also, like, a pretty pragmatic person. Like, I'm all about, and I think that's probably evident in my research, like, I'm about fixing problems. I'm about, like, seeing real-world consequences of the work that I do. And, like, understanding why people are, like, queer, why they're trans, doesn't help with anything.
It helps, like, the rest of the people. Yeah, they help the rest of the people.
Yeah, so understand. Still, but, I mean, or also maybe, you know, do some not-so-great things once you can identify people again.
Yeah, I can dominate.
Yeah, like, I won't go deep into that, but, like, I don't see a positive outcome for queer or trans people from understanding why those things exist.
Right.
And I see a much more positive outcome for expanding our current practices and things to better include those people.
Yeah, so what? So this is very interesting perspective because it's really hard to get out from our mindset, get out from our perspective to see a different perspective. It takes like years of experience and years of reflections, right? And you mentioned about this, and that makes me start to think, oh, actually, I have the same thing. Like when I talk about or think about all other people who are different than me, I actually I still interpret it from my perspective.
Yeah.
So when you talk about this, I realize, oh, this is true. But then I wonder, what are the angles that you think it would be beneficial for people in that community to feel like it actually helped me to feel I'm included?
Right, yeah. I mean, the big things that I focus on in my work are things like recruitment criteria or like questionnaire measures and that kind of thing that ask about gender and sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll speak from my personal perspective, but say like I go and I see a poster and it's studying like, I don't know, like birth control or something, like hormonal birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking for women or whatever. I'm probably not going to be inclined, even as somebody who takes birth control, I'm not going to be inclined to join that study because it's going to make me feel uncomfortable because I don't feel like, well, like I'm not a woman. So like, I don't feel like really comfortable. I feel like I'm kind of like invalidated, misgendered, like any of that kind of stuff doesn't make me feel comfy to go and approach those researchers.
Mm.
And let alone those researchers knowing how to interact with me. Like, are they just going to code me as a woman in their data? Because that's misrepresentative. Like, so what I would really like to do is figure out how we can make those criteria, and this is just one example, of course, but make those criteria accurate to what we're actually studying.
Mm.
And also, like, inclusive, and I need the viewpoints of people who interact with those criteria. Like, I have my own views, of course, and one of the things that I did in the preliminary work that I've done is I like did a self interview. So I interviewed myself, which was like really weird, but I used that to generate initial codes for the rest of the interviews because I wanted to see what was coming from like my perspective and what was being uniquely generated from participants because I'm not the voice or the be all end all of trans people. I'm one person with one understanding of that.
I see. Well, that's a really great point because I feel like you mentioned, you kind of emphasized this is that instead of studying about them, it's like do studies for them.
Yeah, for them, right. With them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like it's a more niche research topic to kind of do it, right? It's instead of like you fall into this category, why you do not fall into this category.
Yeah.
And another interesting point that you earlier mentioned, I have to ask, is that you talk about there are more differences within one gender versus there are like between genders, right? Do you have like specific examples or something? Because I kind of feel like, you know, when I talk about, because people have like a huge controversial, even conflict online, is that, hey, this is how women do and this is how men do. I'm so disappointed on them in terms of like dating scenario stuff.
Right,
a lot of people, because we love to talk about dating, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then they always talk about this and that. But then I kind of feel like, of course, the society have huge effect on how we think, how we behave as a male, that I have to show that I'm so powerful, and if I want to cry, if I feel fragile, it's not allowed. So that's caused a lot of like loneliness and a hard point for males, right?
Yeah.
And females, of course, we also claim a lot about what's unfair to us. But a lot of times when I grow more mature, I kind of feel like, I feel like everybody's human. It's like
that's kind of the idea. Like a lot of those differences are very real in the way that the world is set up.
Mm.
Like, and I don't want to underplay that. Like,
right.
The way that people experience life is greatly colored by the way that they are perceived in terms of man, woman, like whatever you're perceived as. It really changes your experience. But like when you take that away, we're so much more similar than we are different. Like a lot of those differences, at least to me anyways, appear very manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can only really come up with more physical examples because like, again, these examples are super culturally specific. They are like those kinds of differences are very societally impacted.
Mm-hmm.
But like just a really simple example is height, right? Mm. So like on average, females are shorter than males. But like, think about all the men and all the women you know. Like, you probably know a bunch of women who are taller than various men that you know.
Right.
Like, it's not like, if you look at the range, there's a lot of overlap, right?
Right.
Like, that's like a really simple example. They've basically seen that with like brains too. Like if you look at a brain, and I have I've worked with physical brains before, like you look at a brain, you can't tell whether that's like a male or a female brain.
Yeah, can't like you like it's like you're not supposed to.
Well, yeah, you're not, and you can't, like they look the same from the outside. There's like some very small differences that they've identified in terms of like activation and like these very specific things, but like they're not that different. Like, like you're not going to look at a brain and be like, oh, yeah, that's a male. Like, you can't do that. Nobody can do that. That's just not how it works. So, like, yeah, when you kind of strip back, like, the way society treats those differences, we're a lot more similar than we are different.
I just kind of, you know, I highly agree with this because I always feel like humans are the creatures. Of course, we're a part of the animals, too. But humans are very different because what actually make us sort of, if I dare to say, kind of wane over the world so far is because we are highly cognitive creatures.
Yeah.
That we're like using our brains to make decisions, to create those tools and all other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
This urban, like urbanization, all other civilization we have is really dominated by our brain. How do we use our brain?
Yeah.
So in terms of like, hey, this is the physical differences that we have so that we're different, maybe like how our experiences affect our psychology, our brains, our cognitive, how to say, like cognitive perspectives or knowledge bank, those things really kind of differentiate or make us similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so I feel like, and then at the last point for today's show, of course, I definitely want you to come back to talk more about like how the alcohol affects us or whatever.
Okay, sure,
it's just like a turn into more like, you know, really information, knowledge heavy to help us, like female, male, transgender, LGBTQ, whatever, right? Like Chinese, Canadians, people, like, hey, how those things affect us, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, we just talk about identity. Of course, that is something that we wanted to start to unfold with, because most of the people, this is still like a two-gender dominating world.
Yeah, no, it's still kind of like identifying as anything outside of that. Like, it does take people, like, I mean, yeah, even like with my own family and stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
it's taken some time for like them to be able to like address me properly and like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff, right? So like, we're still kind of at that point, like, as,
yeah,
a collective, and it varies, like, you know, group to group, country to country, whatever. But like, that's just like understanding identity, but like, there's real issues and things that like need to be adjusted as we kind of make the transition to being more inclusive.
Exactly, because it's like, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. If you don't talk about it, it's kind of like people still, they recognize it, but then for me, I'd rather just like warm it up, directly put, say, hi, I'm Chinese, I don't eat dogs, so we can talk about the animals like pets or something. You know, like, I feel like that is something I do wanted to dedicate into, hey, we start this, and I studied this because you can trust me because I have my own experience and I have my own perspective because I actually am in this community.
Yeah.
I am who I am, and then we can talk about it, and you can actually see me with somebody who studied this or knowing this, talk about this with more authority instead,
yeah,
of like, oh, we're still talk about why is that, like, I am the identity, we're talking about identity, and
no, it's important to like trust people's lived experiences, right?
Yeah.
And like, those lived experiences should not be extrapolated to being the lived experience of an entire collective of people,
yeah,
because again, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
But lived experiences are really important in terms of fostering understanding, like, between groups. And again, that's a big reason why I'm having the kind of like two legs of like the interviews with researchers and with gender and sex diverse people.
Yeah.
Because I'm in both of those groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a researcher and I'm gender and sex, or gender or sex diverse. So I kind of have a good middle ground to like think about those two perspectives, have,
yeah,
good relations with both of those communities so that I can kind of work on maybe reconciling that.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's hard to do when you're coming at it as an outsider from either of those communities.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to understand from as a perspective of a transgender person filling out a survey,
mm-hmm,
that, oh, like, why are they making me choose a box here? But,
mm-hmm,
my researcher brain is going, they're using this so that they can separate groups, and we need to do statistical tests between these groups, and we can only have a finite number of groups, and they each need to have a decent amount of people so that,
mm-hmm,
we have power, all this kind of stuff. That's not something that you're average research participant is thinking about. But then your average researcher isn't thinking about, oh, what would someone who is assigned female at birth, who's taken testosterone, all this stuff, how would they answer my questions?
Mm.
Like, but I think about both of those things because I'm in both of those groups. And I think that's why I'm basically trying to leverage that to hopefully solve some problems, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah. I guess what you wanted to say, or at least I interpreted it as like, I would also wanted to do this, is that when you talk to me, instead of like seeing me as a female, instead of thinking me as like, I'm married, I'm unmarried, I'm single, I am a male who's working whatever, right? Like, I'm Chinese, I'm American. Instead of this, just see me as a person, as a human, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
I look at you, if we get to know each other and we get close, I do believe that I talk to you because I talk to you. I know,
yeah,
your personality. I know how you think, your perspectives. I know your knowledge, right? And I'm interested in the topic that you're studying. Instead of like, oh, I see you. Oh, you're from transgender community. So,
yeah,
I need to behave like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then all my mind is like kind of piled with all those thoughts, and that I have no room to focus on you.
Yeah, like, every person is different. Everyone is shaped by the collective of their experiences from the overlap of all the different things that they've had happen, all the aspects of who they are. So, like, really, these things are shorthands,
yeah,
to help us. Like, they're heuristics, we call them in psychology, basically,
yeah,
tricks to help us decrease the cognitive effort that it takes to just, like, go about our lives.
Oh, that is a great sort of like interpretation towards the psychology. This is the first time that I hear people kind of explain it in a deep level or your personal level. I highly agree with that. I'm, like, so inspired. And also, I really wanted to say, it's not really just, like the transgender group or LGBT group or females or, you know, like minorities.
Yeah.
It's actually, I feel like everybody have this feeling that they're being observed and studied as a lab rat. Everybody actually has this feeling. So if we can apply that into others, then we can understand it and being empathetic about it.
Yeah, I mean, we all have, again, to connect to psychology, we all have in-groups and out-groups. That's mm-hmm. a really common concept in social psych. So how, basically, who are, like, our people, who are we in with, and who is different from us.
Right.
Yeah, and it's kind of a matter how strongly you hold those things and how deeply you want to think about them and take them, but we need to interact as people, you know.
Yeah, it was great conversation today, and I kind of want to, like, you know, talk more, but unfortunately it turns to the end, and we will have you back, by the way, because
sure.
the study that you talk about, I think it will just be really interesting, especially for, like, I barely drink nowadays, so I probably get less interested in how alcohol would affect different genders, but I think my friends, my audiences would be super interested. We tell them more about it, and we can talk more about, like, how this third group of you know, like, outside of the two main genders also get affected. There's any progress on it and stuff like that,
right?
So,
yeah, I'd have to check. It's been a few years. I don't know if there's been any updates there. Obviously, I'm no expert on that kind of
prepared.
Stuff, but yeah, I can go do a quick PubMed search and see if anything's come up in the last 3 years.
Yeah, because we're like a casual conversation style, but then sometimes I will also wanted to talk about something very scientific, so we feel like really solid about it. But anyways, thank you so much for tuning for Common Negotiator. We are on air every Thursday 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, and a really big shout out to all the staff and volunteers here at CJSF. And if you want to check out the show or listen live, just go to cjsf.ca, and I will see you next week.
Thanks. She's so mad, she's so mad, she's so mad, she's so mad.